our philosophy is all about habitual, regular investing, dollar cost averaging, not trying to time the market.
Welcome to FinTech Fun. FinTech Fun is a podcast where Australian fintechs come to share their stories.
Hi, it's Chris Titley here. As part of the FinTech Fun podcast series, I'm joined by Nick Nicolaides, co-founder of Perla. Nick, thanks so much for being on the podcast and joining in.
G'day, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Nick, let's talk about Perla and let's go back into your background, how you started Perla and why you started it.
Yeah, right. I mean, I was working in a family office, so managing alternative assets. Finance is my background, worked at a few banks and whatnot. And so I guess for me, though, I was always that finance friend. I was always the one asked the questions, what should I invest in? What should I do?
I know that feeling.
Yeah. And, you know, if we make the story really short, Perla is basically a manifestation of mine and my co-founders as well, this idea that we wanted a platform that made those conversations a hell of a lot easier and in fact, maybe even avoided that finance friend even getting the question. So we started ideating basically on a social wealth management app. And, you know, this is 5 years ago, 4 years ago. And, you know, the idea of a social network around money is laughable, probably still is. So we set about finding a product. We thought about Super, thought about neobanks, all these ones that, if you recall back then, there was a new one being launched every other week. We settled on shares. There's something for everybody, easy to get in the market. People have a bit of an affinity with shares. So that's where we started. And, you know, we had this very simple ASX app. We built an automation tool that fed into our philosophy that investing was about incrementalism, not about playing with your money. And we gave it some social features, and that, you know, that launched a year and a half ago, so March 2021. That's the quick story.
And Nick, leaving your job or leaving what you were doing to become a founder, to become a full-time employee and giving something a red hot go. I mean, can you go back to that point in time when you made that move and then again establishing all the company and the MVP?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I my background being in finance, I guess, comes with a little bit of kind of conservatism, I guess, when you're managing other people's money. And so I guess for me, that was always a very methodical stepped out process over a number of years. I wasn't, you know, I didn't walk home one day and bounce through the door and be like, hey, everyone, I quit my job. That wasn't me. So we sold our apartment in Sydney's eastern suburbs just to get a bit more agile in life. And, you know, and then I set about a path of, you know, with my co-founders proving up the business. And then, you know, as we started getting a product that was ready, I went to my employer at the time and said, look, this is what I'm doing. It's not a conflict. And you know, what I'd like to do if I can is, you know, give you the opportunity to replace me. I've got a bit of a runway where I could continue doing work. So let's work together. And I was, you know, very fortunate that that allowed me probably another 12 months of going from 5 days to 4 days to 3 days before I was, you know, finished up completely in about March 2020. So
the year that, or well, the month that everyone remembers in finance forever.
Yeah. I think March 2020, we had myself, maybe my co-founders and a few brothers and sisters using the app. Literally that's it. And then over the next 9 months, we obviously tested a lot and found our way to launch to the market. But it was a fairly wild ride. I guess there's probably been a few things, despite all the planning, there's probably been a few things like COVID and a third child and a move out of Sydney that probably weren't in the grand plan, but you got to kind of roll with it.
You sure do. Now, coming to the app itself, Perla, what does it do if I sign up today? Talk me through the process as a consumer.
Yeah, sure. So most people come to our app today because they want to invest in ASX or US shares, and that's our core product, right? But we've built an app that is more focused on, you know, your general wealth management. So someone comes, they onboard themselves, they're taken through an experience of what are your goals, what is your income, how much you're hoping to save. Then from there, we help them make a few decisions. Is shares the right product, or is micro investing the right product? And we recently launched micro investing. And so from there, we can give someone a reasonably tailored experience that hopefully gets them to do a few things. We help them, once we've been through that experience of where are you trying to get to, which is really important, and what exactly are you investing in, shares or micro? The steps from there are pretty simple. What exactly are you investing in? And in order to do that in a general advice environment, we give them a whole range of data. So we give them access to what the community is investing in. There are some community templates that have been built, and they can also follow real investors. And all of those things sort of create data points, right? So it's not about there being one solution. People these days want to get 3, 4, 5, 6 sources of proof from the internet or from technology. And that's what the community data is all about. So they've chosen a few ETFs or shares that they want to invest in. The next step is how do they want to engage with them? And our philosophy is all about habitual, regular investing, dollar cost averaging, not trying to time the market. And what we give them is auto invest. So they go through a few steps where they, you know, all really set rules for how they want to invest those same shares or ETFs. And then they carry that on into the future. And so once they've done all that, it takes about 10 minutes. Once they've done all that, the experience with Perla is much more about, okay, when am I adding more? And what is it, which of those shares is it adding to? Rather than I've got to come back to the app, transfer money from my bank, pick what shares I'm going to buy, log in during banking hours, market hours, pick that share. Am I buying it on the right day? We really try and make the process more about the journey rather than this transactional idea. And then, you know, from there, hopefully that means that people are focused more on the journey, learning, connecting, rather than share prices.
Yeah, no, I agree with that philosophy in terms of dollar cost averaging and certainly the long term. You know, Buffett always talks about timing the market, not timing the market. And on that point itself, when people do invest, I mean, that they, you know, you mentioned ETFs. Is there a spread or is there a kind of a choice there in regards to where they invest and the education process around what they've actually put their money into?
Yeah, so when we started, we were pretty methodical in terms of how we seeded the community. So we went and we tried to attract customers from different online communities that loved ETFs and loved those philosophies of dollar cost averaging. So our first 50 customers, first 100, first 1,000 customers all came from online communities that were deep into this philosophy. And what that did was seed data and it seeded holdings. So if we fast forward now, I think we're nearing 60,000 accounts, nearing half a bill in holdings. 70% of the holdings are ETFs.
Yep.
And then the balance is split between Aussie direct stocks and US direct stocks. So to answer your question, when we give people back the data, and we do that by rankings, for instance, you can go and purchase any one of the ASX listed shares or ETFs out there, the 5,000 odd options in the US that you can buy. But, you know, there's a huge amount of concentration in a handful of ETFs. And we're really proud of that because we give people full choice because we think that's important. But the user experience and community guides to a core of really sensible holdings that are going to give people diversification in a really cheap way and, you know, be a really good base for them to just sensibly grow wealth.
And when it comes to that auto investing or that recurring amount, how does that work in regards to the minimum amount? Or because, you know, shares have always had this mentality around going to a stockbroker and it might be a couple of $1,000, for instance, as a minimum, and that's purely derived by the transactional fees, I would imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. So the way to think about auto invest for us is, you know, a really simplistic rebalancing tool. And you've got to put yourself in the mindset of a person who's probably got $500 to $1,500 to invest every month. And, you know, there's a trade-off, obviously, with the ASX and minimums, about $500. There's a trade-off where you could obviously optimize your transaction costs to your investments and maybe invest every 6 months or whatnot. But, you know, how that impacts your general enjoyment of investing and behavior is really important, because it's probably better to invest more frequently, stay on track, rather than have that money sitting in your bank waiting for something else to come along and spend it, right? So auto invest is really simple. You've got a portfolio of a handful of ETFs and stocks. You can set a rule that, and the most popular rule, I think 94% of auto investors do this. It will take you $1,000 every month or 2 months, whatever you dictate. And it will look at your target weights that you've set, and it will put that $1,000 next to the asset that's the furthest from the target. And so over a period of 4 to 6 months, if you've got 4 to 6 assets in your portfolio, you will have rebalanced into all of them. Now, it's not perfect. It's not someone running a portfolio of 20 positions in an MDA and you're rebalancing every month to make sure your percentages are within the range. But it's as close, I think, as we've gotten today for a retail product to keep your investments ticking over in a sensible way. Now, of course, we're always focused on trying to streamline that as we grow with scale and costs continue to come down. There probably is a point in the future where our experience turns to a subscription, and those 6 ETFs or 4 ETFs, you could spread that $1,000 across all 4 of them every month and keep everything nice and tight. A lot of people there who like their percentages to write. So we want to give people that endorphin.
And Nick, the feedback that you've got from your customers thus far in terms of features, in terms of potentially engaging with more information or product uses, I mean, how have you built out the product from that MVP on the basis of feedback?
Yeah, I mean, we see ourselves as a tech company, I think, versus a financial services company. So we've been built off feedback all the way through. And, you know, so for instance, how that impacts our roadmap, we've got a features board actually that is embedded into our platform, and people vote on new features and add new features into the mix. And we literally take our lead from there. But when it comes to some of the core functions like automation, so I think, automation is probably the top one or two reasons people come to Perla. And the other reasons include long-term focus, independent startup, a few other things. But, you know, we are continually enhancing that based on feedbacks. And that, you know, that gets really deep into the granularity of what is the trading experience and how do we keep simplifying it? Because, you know, again, coming back to what we think, investing and more specifically investing in shares has for a long time been about this transaction. Whereas really what we want to focus on is it's not about this transaction. It's about what you're buying and how long you're going to hold it for and how it's going to get you where you need to go. So,
yeah, the buying part, I've always asked some of my guests who in a previous life who have been investors, the buying part's easy. You and I can just, if we've got some capital, we just could literally throw it at anything. It's the selling part. It's the exiting of the timing, and people get that horribly wrong. And I was a terrible seller back in my day in what I did as well. So, you know, having a platform allowing you to guide you along that, I think is very, very sensible. Nick, one final question on the business before we jump into some personal stuff, but putting your hat on for 12 months time, we redo this interview, where do you think yourself and the company would like to be?
Yes, I mean, I think the roadmap includes superannuation. So we're not building our own fund, and that's probably all I can tell you right now, but we're definitely interested in in sort of closing the loop between micro shares and super. And we think if we can cover that experience, we can take someone from their first dollar right through to when they're redeeming, right, later in life. Really important for us. And then, you know, what's something that's come up more recently with the closure of Pocketbook is accelerated a plan that we've always had on the roadmap, but albeit in backlog. So we're working with Basic, who do our open banking integrations, to accelerate a, you know, personal finance management tool. So we're digging deeper into what people are spending, how it's categorized, how that then feeds into their budget, and then how that budget can help them, you know, optimize their savings and obviously help them invest more. So, you know, in 12 months' time, we'll be obviously still humming along with our shares product and our managed funds, but we'll have super on top of that, and that will hopefully all be wrapped in a much tighter personal finance management sleeve.
And Nick, when you switch off the business, it's pretty hard as a founder or co-founder, I'd imagine, but taking some time out, or at least in evenings or weekends, et cetera, when your mind is not on Perla and not on the shares and the product, et cetera, what does Nick get up to?
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't want to be one of those founders that says, oh, you're always on the job, but and you're not, you know, you need to find some times. And I will be honest, the last 12 months, or so more specifically 2021, there wasn't a lot of balance. It was a really, really amazing time, but everything was going into the business and you know, the kids, basically. And there's a bit of light at the end of the tunnel now. So probably the last hobby or sport on my list that I'm actively doing is surfing. And I'm very, very fortunate to have just come back from a week in South Sumatra in Indonesia. And, you know, far from being an indulgence of surfing, that was definitely a reset. So, you know, at least since then, I've been trying to get in the water twice, three times a week. And if I can continue that, I'll be happy.
Whereabouts do you surf in Sydney?
So we live south of Sydney. So I'm surfing mainly around Thirroul, Austinmere, that sort of south coast area, which is beautiful and lovely. And not as many crowds as where I used to do. We have my 40 years since I was super sure.
And Nick, when you're on the on the board and you're away, you're overseas, and you've got a couple of hours spare, what goes through your mind?
I'd be lying if I didn't say it was something to do with, you know, the big picture, the future of financial advice, and how community and engagement, education, social media is going to shape pretty much everything Perla does, but also how it's shaping the world around us. Is, you know, might not sound too exciting, but that we're I think about to see a huge step change in how consumers view data. I know that's already happening, obviously, but, you know, the usage of platforms like Instagram and Facebook have allowed people to create massive businesses. You know, it's entirely likely that the trust in those platforms continues to really slip away. So what do I think about? I think about how does Perla step into the void and do it in a safe way.
And on the surfboard in Indonesia, that'd be a nice spot to think about that and to strategize a few things, as well as in the southern beaches of Sydney. Nick, thanks so much for being part of this podcast, telling the Perla story and the reasons why you started the business, as well as your background, the progress that you've achieved thus far, and the future plans, which is great to get an insight. And congratulations on what you've achieved, and really look forward to catching up.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for your time, mate. Yeah, congratulations on starting your new venture.
Thank you.
For more information on Sub11, jump onto our LinkedIn or email me, Chris@sub11.com.au. Thanks for listening.